It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Round up some lemons, the vinegar, the baking soda. We learn how to make our own cleaning products without the harsh chemicals found in some store-bought ones. Call in with your questions about homemade cleaning formulations or share your recipe for stubborn stains. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Jane Holly Stevens is here, owns Four Elements Organic Herbals. It's a 130-acre farm and apothecary in North Freedom in South Central Wisconsin. Jane, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thank you, Ken. Kate, I'm happy to be here this morning.
Well, you know, a few things come to mind with homemade cleaning products: their effectiveness, their cost, and their health benefits. So how should we think about homemade cleaners with those things on our mind?
Well, the thing that really inspired me about being on your show today was that I really don't like plastics in the environment. And it's to the point where plastics are showing up in human cells and in babies. And, you know, they're just, it's a very toxic material. And so whatever we can do to make things at home, because, you know, I always think, like, let's buy one glass cleaner in our life and then use the container for the rest of our life, you know, with our homemade stuff inside. So that's the thing that really inspired me about coming on your show today. And there's so many things that just work anyway.
All right. Well, introduce us to one of your favorite cleaning products to make at home. Where are you going to take us first?
Well, I think I'm going to start by just introducing some basic ingredients. And like you already mentioned, vinegar and water. It is disinfecting because it's an acid, you know, with the vinegar in there, it becomes acid. And, you know, a lot of people use essential oils when they make their own cleaning products, but you can actually just make a strong herbal tea with a disinfecting herb, such as rosemary or thyme, things you might have, you know, around your house anyway, or we're in Wisconsin, we have pine trees everywhere. We could just make a strong, like, simmer some pine and use that as the water part of your cleaning solution and mix that with vinegar in, even half and half, and you'd have a really great topical, you know, for your countertops and surfaces.
I just, you know, love lemon, because when I have a squeezed lemon that I've used and I've, you know, in cooking or something, and I have the rind and I have the guts left over, I just put it in my hand and I run it over all the, like, stainless steel sink. And I sometimes, like, run down and, you know, rub it on the shower door a little bit. But that, you know, I'm not doing any type of formulation there. I'm just using that acid, that lemon.
I love it. It, you know, because this is where herbs and herbalism really go well with people. I mean, just use your intuition, use your common sense. I feel like so many of the products out there we're so marketed to that I feel like we've been marketed out of our common sense. So it is really cool to hear you say that you just intuitively just take your lemon and rub it around where you think it needs a polish or a clean. And sometimes I take that half a lemon and throw it in my laundry too.
Oh.
So yeah, you could just, yeah, to make it all fresh in your laundry.
So the rind and all, like, wait, tell me what you do there. I'm curious.
Well, like, you took your lemon and
yes,
put it, you know, on your stainless steel. I would take a half a lemon and put it in, like, with my jeans, not probably my whites, but, you know, something that it wouldn't matter too much if it got a little pulp on it. But really, it's just really refreshing. And you could put that same half a lemon even in your dishwasher, you know, just to freshen things up.
You came across your mother's formulations, her cleaning recipes. How did that make you feel?
Oh, well, there's a very cute story about that goes in front of that. And so everyone who knows me well had to have a big laugh when they found I was coming on this show for cleaning, because I have a strange history with cleaning. When I was a little girl, I was the youngest of five children, and there was three girls, and my mother would take us on Saturdays, you know, and show us how to dust over and over and over, and you know, you're doing it wrong. You know, she was a retired nurse, or a nurse from the 1950s, picture white starch outfits and, you know, the white carpet and everything. She comes from that era. And, you know, trying to teach your kids how to clean properly, at least the girls. And it was just so redundant and so annoying that apparently out at one time when I was very frustrated, I wrote this little piece of paper. It said, "Cleaning sucks and so does my mom." And I stuck it in a book. And when I was moving her into her retirement home, it fell out and we both got a big laugh out of that. But so it really made me feel great to honor her in a way that I could pull out her old recipe box and, you know, honor her cleaning skills because of all this history. So anyway, it felt really great. And then I was able to find them too in her, you know, those little recipe boxes.
Sure. And we have some of her recipes for surface cleaner, her window cleaner, and her bathroom cleaner. And you can find those recipes at WPR.org/mornings. Can you talk a little bit beyond the lemon? What other ingredients might we have on hand for cleaning purposes that would be go into these types of homemade cleaners?
Well, baking soda is a really good one. If you need a scrubbing, you know, something to scrub your surfaces. So baking soda, like using 4 tablespoons of baking soda in 1 quart water, makes enough of a scrub that it makes a really nice for on top of your countertops if you need a little scrub action, or your stovetop. And if you need more of a grease cleaner, you could add like a little gentle soap. We like Dr. Bronner's or just a simple liquid soap. So another thing that really helps to cut grease is ammonia. So I have some of these recipes if you want me to go through any of them.
Well, but with the ammonia specifically, because ammonia can have, you know, quite a harsh smell. So how do you use ammonia, especially with ovens and stovetops?
Well, you don't, first of all, thanks for bringing that up, because you, it's very important to not mix ammonia with bleach.
Mm-hmm.
That can cause a really bad reaction. You just don't want to breathe those fumes. That does have a harsh smell. What am I going to say? You can add a couple drops of an essential oil that you like. And really, most essential oils are antiseptic. But as I mentioned last time I was your guest, that essential oils take a lot of plant material. And you can get, if you have access to any plant material, you can get the same benefits by making a strong tea or a decoction. A decoction means you boil the herbs, and an infusion or tea is where you pour boiling water over the herbs and let it steep. And most leafy plants extract really well just pouring the boiling water over them and sealing the container. So even kitchen herbs such as rosemary, thyme, even basil has the quality. Sage for sure. Sage is really antiseptic. And making any of those teas can help make your cleansers smell really well. And I'm very keen on pine these days. We're making a pine tea, which people are really interested in. But the fact that it's so readily available in the winter in Wisconsin, you know, think of pine salt. You know, so pine is very cleansing. And I think of it as a northern eucalyptus. So it's, you know, nice on the lungs. And that would be a good addition to any of these that have water, any of these recipes.
Wisconsin organic farmer and horticulturist Jane Holly Stevens giving us tips on how to make our own natural household cleaning products with drops of essential oils to help make the chores smell good. Call in along the way with your questions about homemade cleaning products, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We explore formulations for natural homemade cleaning products. And a special thanks to Mary in Sheboygan Falls, who suggested during a recent caller-only program that we discuss and exchange ideas for cleaning in safe and eco-friendly ways. Call in with your questions on home cleaning products. Share your tips for never buying again at the store. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. We have Jane Hulley-Stevens, farms organic herbs and markets herbal products in Wisconsin, and she's our guide. Let's bring in John in Highland. John, hi, what would you like to share?
Good morning. I just wanted to share, my family's been making our own homemade soap for years out of lard, which is rendered hog fat, water, borax, lye, and ammonia. And we make it by the 5-gallon bucketful. We use it for laundry detergent and that sort of thing. It's a fantastic cleaner. And it is, the recipe's been in our family for, I believe, 7 generations. And I just hadn't heard you guys mention homemade soaps yet, so I just wanted to pass that along.
How did you learn to make it? Do you have any stories that date back, John, in making the homemade soap?
I don't. It's just I watch my grandma and my mother make it, and now my wife, who had never made soap in her life, is now making it, and it's just been something that's been passed down generation, right from rendering our own hog fat to making the soap.
Oh, I just love that story. Thank you so much for calling in. Jane, what can you add about homemade soaps here?
Well, that is the most classic way to make soap, and in fact, I did find my mother's laundry soap recipe in that same box with a similar recipe, but less ingredients, but same thing, lard. Lard is rendered beef fat, and then the lye and the water. That was her recipe. But yeah, it makes a fantastic soap. It's just, to me, the lye and working with all that is a little tricky. So that's like the first thing I hired an employee to do, because that was the first job I wanted to pass along. But I really love the way it works, because you end up with a lot of the, the lanolin stays in the soap when you make these homemade soaps. So they're much more softening on your skin. But when you buy classic soap in a store, they usually take out the lanolin, which is a natural byproduct of the soap making process. And so they're more drying. So these homemade soaps are really fantastic if you have all the right equipment.
And, you know, going back to the laundry detergent and the amount of plastic in the environment, this, I would imagine, could really address that issue.
Right. Making soap isn't for everybody. I really applaud John and his family for keeping that tradition in his family, because I find the lye is difficult to work with. You know, it's pretty caustic when you add the water to the lye, and you should be in a well-ventilated area because the fumes just are very caustic, and you don't want to touch any of that solution either, because it can really burn your skin. So, you know, that's tough. That's really quite a job. And I was really happy to hear him tell his story, but it isn't for everyone.
Just speaking of soap for a moment, you had, an idea to throw leftover bar soap into the toilet to clean the toilet.
Well, yeah. So when my soap gets really small, I will just throw it in the toilet, wait 10 minutes. And that's what I would use to scrub out the toilet. I've never bought any toilet cleaner in my life. And, you know, I think we're just so used to being marketed to that we think we need all of these specific products, but I find plain old soap very effective. And since we make soaps here at Four Elements, I have a lot of soap scraps around, and there are different times where I would grate my soaps and let it dry and use that for my laundry detergent. Like a lot of the old scraps, we just grate them up and use that for the laundry detergent. And then another trick I have underneath a couple of my sinks is a bunch of soap scraps that I add water to and just shake it up. And it's like it's like a liquid soap. So I can use that for anything, really.
Hmm.
Surfaces. Yeah.
Or super versatile. Whatever. Yes. Talking with Jane Holly Stevens about cleaning products and how to make them at home. Call in about a great cleaning product you've made up or that has been passed down to you in your family and you want to talk about its qualities, how it does. 800-642-1234. Perry is here from Oconto. Perry, hi. Go ahead.
Yes. I had one question and now I thought of another. But my one question is there a way, what I do for washing wool sweaters is I'll wash them in a bucket and I'll use like a regular human shampoo because wool is hair. But sometimes you get wool that's a little bit harsher as far as pickier. And is there a way to soften that wool sweater? Any ideas there? And anything for getting off soap scum off a shower?
Oh, great questions, Perry. Thank you. Jane, go ahead.
Okay, well, I think if you use a natural soap, like something you would get at a natural product store that would still have the lanolin in it, I think that type of soap would work well on your woolen sweaters. Because just as it works so nice on the skin with its softening quality, I bet it might work on your sweaters, but I thought popped into my head when you were describing the wool being hair. And I thought, well, what about a bit of conditioner, you know? And Perry, I just want to let you know, I was born in Oconto at that old hospital on the river. So I know Oconto. Yeah.
Well, how about nice that soap scum?
Yeah. So that one is, I would, baking soda would absolutely work on that. And I have read that you can also use salt as a scrub, just plain old table salt. But I really do like baking soda to make my scrubby solutions. I wonder if he's tried baking soda because that works really well. And another ingredient to whiten things is borax.
Perry, have you tried baking soda or borax?
No, I've used a kind of a vinegar and Dawn soap, and it seems to work. One thing, you have to rinse at Dawn because that soap scum is very slippery. But I'm getting back to the sweaters. I like to wash mine by hand, to soak them, then give them a good rinse and flat dry them. And man, wool sweaters are fantastic.
They sure are. Perry, thank you so much for the call. You know, Jane, using the vinegar there, but perhaps making, I wonder, making like a paste, like a baking soda type paste on that soap scum.
Yeah, but we all are used to those powders that you shake out of canisters.
Mm-hmm.
And I just have baking soda underneath my sinks that you can just, shake out and use that, like with the soapy washcloth.
Okay.
So I think that works just fine.
Perry, thank you. Let's go to Katie now in Burlington. Katie, what's your tip?
My tip is, don't use anything. Like for washing windows, you take one of those micro towels or whatever, just one towel with a little bit of water on it. Then you take another one and you wipe it off. And I don't think I have the cleanest windows, but when I'm cleaning them, they look great. I never have a problem with streaking, anything like that. So don't even use anything.
Microfiber cloths, super helpful in Katie's world on those windows. And I use them on my mirrors as well, Jane.
Same here. I learned this trick from a friend a long time ago. And she said for her bathroom mirror, she just flicks some water on it with her fingers and wipes it off. And she's right. That works fabulous.
I've also heard using like newspaper on windows is one way of not going through paper towels. Have you ever tried that?
I haven't tried it, but okay. My sister, who is very good with cleaning, has used it. But, the ink, I don't know. I just prefer to use rags or something else.
Jane Holly Stevens, organic farmer in North Freedom, growing herbs, helping us with how to make at-home cleaning products that are safe and effective alternatives to store-bought cleaners. Join in our conversation about home cleaning remedies you've tried, common household ingredients. Call in with your questions about home cleaning, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. As we explore homemade cleaners with ingredients we have on hand that stand up to commercial products in the cleaning aisles, call in with your questions about the vinegar, the borax, the baking soda, the rubbing alcohol, ratios you've wondered about. Share your cleaning breakthroughs with ketchup or something else. 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Jane Holly Stevens owns an organic farm in North Freedom, and she's our guide on these homemade cleaning products. Let's go to Christina now in Glenwood City. Hi, Christina.
Hi there. Thank you. About 2 years ago, we installed a cast iron sink. It's an enamel sink, a beautiful dove gray kitchen sink. And sadly, through the years, it became stained with coffee, tea, turmeric root. And I was really distraught about that. So then 2 days ago, I dampened the sink with water. I dusted it with baking soda, left to go to the dump, came home, got a cup, put a little peroxide in there with a soft toothbrush, scrubbed it. It is as good as new. It is beautiful.
Wow.
From the day we put it in.
Wow, that's a great breakthrough there, Christina. And I would imagine you could do kind of some management as you see those stains emerge over time.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. My plan is to do this every Saturday and keep it looking new.
Gorgeous sink. Jane, what do you think of that?
Well, I think it's great. I wondered if she found that recipe or if she just decided to try it. What about that, Christina?
I decided to try it.
That is great. See, that's what I love about like just following your intuition a bit. Of course, you want to have some knowledge when you just start off on something, but I love that story of how you just thought it up and how well it worked. I think it's just amazing.
Yeah, those porous surfaces too, they can really stain so easily. So knowing what can reverse that is really helpful. Let's go to, Christina, thank you for the call. Let's go to, Linda from Milwaukee called in and says to clean dried blood stains or stains in carpet, uses Fels Naphtha, that household laundry soap, one of the oldest cleaning products. Fels Naphtha is supposed to remove the greasy stains, has been around for decades. And Linda rubs the soap on the stain with a toothbrush. Have you used Fels Naphtha?
I don't, but I think one thing I know about protein stains such as blood is cold water works better than hot. So if you need to wash out anything that has a little blood or a protein stain, cold water I know works better.
Okay.
So but Fels Naphtha, that's just another basic soap. And so I think you could replace that with other basic soaps, even liquid soaps like Dr. Bronner's or some of those other brands that are more simple.
What about carpet cleaner? Because, you know, those stains can, the tracking in of things, the pets, how do you approach cleaning carpets?
Well, let's see. We did just scrub a bit of, from our fireplace, an ash or a little ember jumped out and it kind of melted part of our rug. It jumped pretty far. And my daughter just got a brush and some soap and she was scrubbing and scrubbing and you know, all of, even all the dark spots that I thought were just going to be like scorched came out just with that soap. But I know for red wine, just plain old salt, if you drop, if you spill a little red wine on a carpet, you can just put salt on top of that and wait, like probably overnight, but it comes right out. It's just amazing.
Something I want to know, Jane, is the shelf life on your recipes and on these homemade products. Are there any formulations that you make up for cleaning that day and then perhaps toss the extra at the end? Or do you make batches that can stay over time? I'm just thinking about like lemon juice going rancid over time.
Yeah, that can happen, like especially with the soaps. If they get more than 2 years old, like my homemade soaps, you know, they can get rancid and then I just throw them away. But mostly I kind of, well, it would depend on the application. So I do have some things, like I said, but I guess most of mine are basic ingredients under the sink, like the soaps that I made into liquid soap by adding water in a quart jar to soap scraps and the jar of baking soda. So I think I kind of mix them as I go.
Mm-hmm.
But let's see. So, and then if they get rancid, then I just throw them away. But if you extract things into vinegar, like say you are a gardener or have some of these nice aromatic herbs or access to them in the summer, you can infuse those into your vinegar, which you could use for salad dressing or cleaning products, right?
I love the versatility there.
Right. And so the vinegar is 100% stable, you know, because of the high acid content. And I have a glass cleaner that I keep underneath my sink that I made and another surface cleaner. And I just use them up. But I was thinking when I knew I was going to be a guest on your show that this whole project might be a really fun fundraiser for, say, a school group or a church group or a little eco club or something. Because I think it's good to raise awareness that mm-hmm. you can really be making these effective things at home. And one tip I'd like to give your listeners is that if you really get into a project like this, you can get baking soda at feed mills. And there are so many rural areas around Wisconsin. Most of them have a feed mill, places where farmers go and get, you know, their supplies for their farms. But you can get baking soda in 50-pound bags there.
Wow.
And
save
really a lot of money.
You can really scale up. You can scale up and make very large batches. Yes. So I want to pick your brain just a little bit and you kind of, led us here with the idea that you could make salad dressing or a cleaner, but you know, besides cleaning products in like the liquid form, how else could we incorporate essential oils into our cleaning routine?
Well, you can, you know, add them to any one of these, recipes, mm-hmm. you know, so I have, you know, your glass cleaner and, you know, it will add a little extra cleaning action and antiseptic quality, but the vinegar in there would do the same thing. I think it just makes us happier people to smell nice things as we're moving through our day and especially while cleaning.
That's true.
So, I mean, the same essential oils, but I really recommend getting a good quality essential oil. So watch your suppliers and just try to make sure you're getting a good quality because essential oils are an area that there's a lot of adulteration and chemicals being added where they're sold as essential oils. So, you know, just that's something to be aware of.
Talking with Jane Holly Stevens, an organic farmer, talking about making at-home cleaning products and your formulations that have worked perhaps for generations. Call in at 800-642-1234. Lynn is with us from Racine. Lynn, hi. What's your story?
Well, I have a question for somebody who doesn't mix and match, but has a kind of a chemistry background, I know there are things you shouldn't mix together. And I'm wondering from your guest, on a very basic level, what things do you not mix together?
Lynn, thank you.
Like, you don't put baking soda with what? Or you don't put bleach or ammonia with what?
Right. Yes, Jane.
Yes. So we mentioned earlier that we don't mix ammonia and bleach, that's a big problem. And, the combination of baking soda and vinegar causes a reaction, but you can use that to unclog sinks. I'd be curious to what you would have to tell us about this with your chemistry background.
Oh, I think she's dropped there, but certainly following recipes is a very good idea. Tried and true ones that certainly help. Stephen in Madison. Stephen, go ahead.
Hi. I just wanted to share a story. My father and I used to go to a lot of auctions, farm auctions, back in the early and mid-80s. And one time when we were at a farm auction, my dad purchased a big wooden crate full of homemade farm soap. And it was in big, fist-sized chunks of, yellowish and a little bit gray and stuff like that. And we ended up using that for years. It must have been 50 pounds of soap in this box. And it was wonderful. My mom would use a cheese grater, and she would grate it into the washing machine for laundry. And we would just go down to the basement and grab another chunk of soap for the shower every week. And it was just a wonderful soap. And my follow-up question I had is, I've been trying to reduce plastics in my life, so I'd like to find an option for a bar soap that I can use as a hair shampoo. And if that's available, and I'll take your answer off the air.
Yes, Stephen, thank you. I love the story of the soap lasting for years in a wooden crate in the basement there. On the issue of plastics, though, Jane, go ahead.
Well, I agree, Kate. What a nice find that creates such a nice image, a big wooden box full of soap that they found at a farm auction. But regarding soap, well, my company, Four Elements, makes a herbal shampoo bar, and we just add some of the herbs that are helpful to hair, such as nettle, which is full of silica, so it helps for strengthening the hair, and rosemary, which is stimulating for the scalp. So there's our brand, as well as some other brands of herbal shampoo bars out there. And really, it's not a whole lot different than other soaps, except for we added some herbs that are helpful for the hair.
So they're out there. They definitely exist. And that is one way to not have to use a plastic bottle.
Right. I think that's a wonderful thought of just eliminating plastic use. As I said in the beginning of the show, that's a big inspiration for me to be sharing this information, just to get people to start making their own things and reduce their purchasing of plastic.
But I wonder with those shampoo bars, what about the drying effect on the hair? Is there enough moisturizer in there?
I think there is, because we have, as I mentioned before, when you make soap with the old-fashioned method, lanolin is a natural byproduct, and lanolin is very soft. It's almost like the inside of an aloe leaf. So it is. It's very softening.
Our guide to homemade cleaning products is organic farmer Jane Holly Stephen. Still time to call in with your questions or share your cleaning hacks, your at-home formulations to cut through dirt and grime, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We learn how to clean chemical-free using at-home ingredients to make all-purpose cleaners. Still time to talk about your best bet for cleaning sinks and bathtubs, showers, ovens. Share the cleaner you make at home, 800-642-1234. We have organic farmer and horticulturist Jane Holly Stevens, who stays with us. Let's take another call now. Lily in La Crosse. Hi, Lily.
Hi, back to the subject of essential oils. I wanted to make a comment about degreasers or anything that can remove adhesive. Citrus essential oils are real common for that. But also wintergreen is a really good adhesive remover.
Wow, wintergreen. So how do you use the wintergreen? Or can you walk us through that for an adhesive remover, Lily?
Sure. Like I had some tape residue on a surface. And so I just put a couple drops and let it sit and then kind of rubbed it off.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, just like that.
Yeah, Lily, thank you. Yes, Jane, what do you make of using citrus and wintergreen for, you know, Goo Gone, if you will?
Yeah, actually, we have used that here at our shop at Four Elements, where just there was an old label on something, or we needed to remove a label. And one of our employees here, one of our women, knew about that orange essential oil, and it really did work well to remove the back of a label or something. So yeah, I'm glad Lily could call in with that tip.
Dee from Madison called and has a shower spray cleaning recipe that they want to share. And Dee has used the recipe for at least a decade now. And it's 1 teaspoon baking soda, 1/2 teaspoon of liquid soap, 2 teaspoons of borax, and then 2 cups of hot water. And Dee, by the way, uses borax in many of their cleaning projects. What do you make of that recipe?
That sounds great. It's really fun to hear how so many of these home ingredients can work to do the same things. But I do really like borax. And in fact, over the weekend, I had some sheets that weren't looking as white as I would like them to. And tried using a cup of borax. So you could either use 1/2 cup to 1 cup of borax in hot water, though. And it helps to add a little baking soda to that laundry as well. And you let it sit. It has to, you know, they recommend to let it sit overnight. But maybe mine, I kept it in the washer for maybe 4 hours. And I definitely noticed a difference. Just plain borax that you get in the cleaning. Well, it's in the laundry section in a grocery store, but it comes in a nice cardboard box.
You were able to unearth your mother's family recipes there, her recipe. What are your suggestions for finding homemade cleaning product recipes? Can you point people to perhaps places that you know and trust for finding these formulations?
That's a great question, Kate, because I have probably 150 herb books in my library, or at least 100. And I started looking through them over the weekend, and there really wasn't much in the, you know, regular herb books. So, you know, now we all have the internet, and I found that there were some good websites on the internet. So, you know, I just didn't, like I said, even a lot of my tried and true herb books didn't have what I was looking for. But because we have the beautiful internet, I'd say that's a great source.
How about ketchup? Have you ever used ketchup to shine up any type of brass or something like that?
No, that one sounds funny to me, but you know, it does have the vinegar in it and mm-hmm. the tomato, which are both and some sugar actually, but ketchup doesn't have any kind of grit in it. So I bet it's just like the vinegar. I would go with straight vinegar. And I bet you that would be one of the active ingredients in the ketchup as a cleaner.
Here's another one coming in. Lynn in Milwaukee has a homemade laundry soap recipe. It's 1 bar finely grated Fels naphtha. So it's going to be roughly 2 cups there of that finely grated Fels naphtha, 2 cups washing soda, also known as sodium carbonate, 2 cups baking soda, and 30 drops essential oils like the lavender, peppermint, sweet orange, lemon, or tea tree. And Lynn says, there you go. You've got your homemade laundry soap.
Beautiful. I love that recipe. I hope you can post that on your website.
I do too. I really love that. I just love these recipes coming in. You know, when I hear 30 drops though, when do you know you have reached a good kind of equilibrium for the amount of essential oils you're putting into a formulation?
I think if you blend mindfully, that, you know, just knowing that it took a lot of plants to get to that point that are in your hand right there, and just use your sense of smell. I think people can judge for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm a real proponent of, you know, people figuring things out, what works for them. So anyway, I think that 30 drops sounds good for that amount of volume.
Okay.
Yeah.
What about concern over, you know, essential oils could possibly stain clothes? What are issues there with the oils staining?
Okay, so that's a great question, because if you get pure essential oils, there's actually no oil in it. It's so that's a way you can actually test a cheaper essential oil compared to a true essential oil by putting a drop on paper. And if it creates an oily ring, that means that it's been adulterated with some carrier oil or something. But pure essential oils are very volatile. They're more like alcohol, where they just lift off the paper. And, you know, because I make hydrosols in the byproduct, which is the byproduct of essential oils. And so I can, with a 2-gallon batch of a hydrosol, which is the steam that was created while making essential oils, I only get from a teaspoon to not ever really a tablespoon of essential oil. So they are really potent, but that's the way you can tell whether they'd stain or not, is just by putting them on a piece of paper and seeing if they leave a greasy rim.
We only have a few seconds left, but, you know, how would your mom feel about your cleaning skills now?
I think she would approve of the way I'm handling it, that's for sure, which is I do a great exchange with somebody who loves to clean with a check. So that's a really great way to clean. But I do want to let your listeners know that really one of their most potent political acts is what you choose going into a grocery store, because that's where companies will respond to what the demand is. And by not buying from companies that aren't helping the environment, you're really making a strong political statement. Like, we can't maybe change the ozone layer or feel like that's just too big for us. But by what you purchase in the grocery store really is a potent political act. And so I really applaud all of your listeners who are going to make their own products and try to keep more plastic out of our environment.
Jane, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much, Kate. It's always a pleasure.
Oh, Jane Holly Stevens. Jane Holly Stevens owns Four Elements Organic Herbals. We have her recipes at wpr.org/mornings. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.